The Spinoff Podcast Network.
Raising capital or taking your business to the world? Investment Fix has everything you need to make it happen. This season, we're exploring the US market, the opportunities it offers, what it takes to grow a business there, and the best way to approach investors. The Investment Fix Podcast. Tune in today.
Ready to rediscover the joys of cycling? With over 300 kilometres of cycle paths across Tāmaki Makaurau, jumping on your bike and going for a ride is such a fun way to discover the city from a different perspective. Cycling is getting more and more popular across Auckland, so now's a great time to join the hype and give cycling a go. Head to at.govt/cycling to find your nearest cycleway today.
Mai kia on the rag. Hei kone ipurangi mona manawahine. Citizens of the nation, welcome to On the Rag, a podcast for and about the mana of woman. I'm Alex Casey. I'm joined as always by Leonie Hayden.
Kia ora.
And Michelle Acourt.
Hello.
We've just been in a big long meeting.
We have. I enjoyed it, but I wanted it to stop so we could come and do this. Please, thank you.
It was a meeting about our telly show.
Which you're very excited about. You all know we have a telly show, right?
I hope they know we
it's
have a telly show.
It's hard to know if people know these days.
Do you know? There's two episodes, y'all.
Tell us if you know.
The first one is about...
Periods.
Periodicals.
Because we are Captain Obvious. I was trying to say, what's... Oh, no. The plurals. No, nothing.
Did
I was going to
say Captain of the Ass?
No, maybe. I was going to say Captain Obvii. Oh, but like pluralizing obvious instead of Captain.
You made it fancy.
Captain of the Ass is a title I can get behind. And episode two is all about body hair.
The hair
that grows...
All
your
over
body.
Your butt. And the rest of your body.
Yeah.
Thanks to the Woman's Bookshop for supporting this. This is absolute nonsense. They are our sponsors. We love them very much. If you are in Auckland, go and give them a visit on Ponsonby Road. Tell them that On the Rag sent you. They love to hear that, and we love to hear that too. It's a great store.
It is, isn't it?
I'd love to go there right now, actually.
Yeah. Should we just cancel the podcast and go to the bookshop?
Well, I'll tell you what we can do from the comfort of our own laptops. We can visit www.womansbookshop.co.nz.
Look at that.
The virtual space.
What a segue. She's a pro.
We are also giving away a book from their bookshop. It is called Biased by Jennifer Eberhard. I knew I was going to struggle with this. Jennifer Eberhard.
Eberhard.
Is it? Okay.
Eberhard.
That's
she
good.
Is... Well, she's going to be on a bloody panel with Leonie Hayden. That's the main thing.
She is. We're going to be talking about everyday racism.
Is this? Oh, this is at the Auckland Writers Festival.
It is. Yep. Jennifer has written a very good book.
Yes. She's a professor of psychology at Stanford, no less. She won a 2014 MacArthur Genius Award.
Wow, that's a good award to
that
win.
That sounds like a great award.
That's more than just a participation certificate.
Mum's got to be happy about that one.
Exactly.
Just bet it's framed.
2014 though, so.
Wow.
Oh dear, love to neg a genius. And she is widely considered one of the world's leading experts on racial bias. So that's what her book, Biased, is all about. And Leonie, you'll be talking to her on a stage, I assume.
We will. And ironically, so I went to the launch of the Writers' Festival, had a very nice time, took a friend of mine who's a very smart Samoan woman with a doctorate, met up with a lovely friend of mine who's a very smart Māori woman with a doctorate. They were getting along lovely, and I took a photo of them because I was like, oh God, I'm just surrounded by these incredible brown women who are incredible. Put something on Twitter about, you know, brown girl magic at the Auckland Writers launch.
Oh, you crazy thing.
And then someone immediately replied, you could have just referred to them as woman. I don't see why the fact that they're brown has anything to do with it.
I don't know why you would have mentioned their gender either. They were just people.
Exactly?
Come on, Leonie. Yeah, just people.
Human beanoids in this photo bring me joy.
I don't know what your specificity's on about.
I thought it was such a beautiful irony that it's a writers' festival in which I will be speaking specifically about everyday racism.
And there you go.
Some dude is now going to feature heavily in my kōrero about everyday racism.
He played into your hands.
He really did. So thanks for that, bruh.
Oh, my God, that's phenomenal. Twas it a white man?
Twas a white man. Twas. White.
Oh, white shit. All right, so you can buy tickets today, I'm assuming? Were you a public airing of this?
Which day is it on? Which day of the three?
Next Wednesday.
It's a special.
Next Wednesday on the 15th. It's part of the University of Auckland panel series. They're having their own problems with kōrero around racism at the moment as well, which will be interesting to see how that plays out. I, of course, have had every person and their dog from the University of Auckland get in contact with me, hoping that I will speak about that on the panel. Wow. I didn't go to university. I don't know what to say.
I think you do.
I do. Great. It won't go unmentioned.
Good.
I'll say that much.
Why don't you wear a t-shirt?
Oh my God. Complicit in white supremacy. Hey.
Shout out Pearl Little. Kia ora, Queenie. Oh
yeah,
my God. Let's get it.
We're jumping ahead of ourselves.
It's already happening. Back to the book. If you want to win that, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/ontheragpod. We've also got a private Facebook group called On The Rag 24/7, which is... it's growing. It's growing, right?
It's a big community now.
It's a big community now. And what we've decided to sort of do is we've given away a bit of the authority, I guess, on the page.
Moderating.
We've shared the load.
The kaitiaki of the page.
Aye. Kaitiaki tanga has been shared with five of our friends on the page.
And potentially more coming. Might add another wave in there. Because, we've realised that it's kind of come into its own. It's now... It's bigger than us.
And we want to keep it open and also safe, which is why it needs somebody to keep an eye on the many, many posts that are being put up.
Many.
So that is On The Rag 24/7. We're also on Twitter and on Instagram at On The Rag Pod, I think. Just search it and you'll be able to find it. I've forgotten what the handle is.
The Google box will have an answer.
Should we talk about Body Hair? So our latest On The Rag web series episode was all about Body Hair. It came out last week.
Yes.
You can watch it on YouTube and on Facebook, on the spinoff. God, it was a ride, wasn't it?
It was a ride. And the person who wrote it the best, well, I don't know why I said that, but I thought the courage was so much in you, Alex.
Yeah.
Having your very first Brazilian on camera.
Oh, no. God, stop it. Yeah. Oh, don't give me the genius award. Oh, really? I'm really not prepared.
I'd like to thank...
It was so beautifully done. You were so honest and authentic and...
I'm here to have my vagina waxed. It was just a really great way to introduce yourself to beauty receptionist.
You said to Claire, I feel so vulnerable. And she said, perfect.
She was amazing. And look, all that, as Claire said to me, as many women I've spoken to about this, it's also just a completely normal thing that so many people get done. And I had always felt sort of, I've always wanted to try that. So then at the meeting when Robin, our director, was like, who wants to get a Brazilian on camera? And I went, yeah. Without thinking about anything.
We didn't even have to get straws out or anything.
I didn't think about the angles, didn't think about my... No, I'm not going to talk about my double chin. Body positivity. Yeah. Don't think about my double chin.
You looked fab.
Don't think about my double chin.
I just laughed so hard. And then when you invoked the hairless, the pink river dolphin.
It's going to be...
And then it popped up on the screen. Oh my God, I thought I was going to like vomit from laughing so hard.
It was an interesting thing to unpack. The thing I was most worried about is I've realised I'm actually okay with pain. You know, that was obviously a concern going into it, but I don't know if it was just the phenomenal job that they did at on-off waxing studios in Britomart. Hashtag not sponsored, but hashtag gifted. But it was the idea of having, like, being pants off.
Yeah.
Full noise.
Oh, your little socks when they flipped you over as well.
Also, just the phrase put you over.
One of the many moments.
Because even though, you know, nothing, it's very dignified, but you were still in a room with many people who...
That's not dignified.
You don't usually show your nethers to.
Exactly. Poor Nani, you know. She was on the second camera. She was right up there. But they give you this little paper G-string. And it doesn't do anything.
It's just no point to it.
It's just like a...
It's a comfort blanket.
Exactly.
Well, it's a corner of a comfort blanket. It's a very small piece of a comfort. It's more of a comfort serviette.
As soon as she put it on, she yanked it to one side and was like, "No, you hold that there forever." And I was like, "Well, my things. What about all my things that are out?" But she was used to it. Like, she reckons she's done. Claire, the woman who waxed me, had been waxing for 19 years.
Yeah.
And she says she reckons they do about 30,000 Brazilians a year or something crazy like that.
And I think you asked her, but she's not even looking. Like, if you asked her, if you put some vulva in a lineup at the end of her working day, I don't think she'd be able to tell you which one she had in.
Mm, mm.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that was my 10:30 appointment. Hello, Claire.
She's just not looking. She's just doing the job.
Yeah. She's just doing the job.
A friend of mine's little sister started working at a beauty therapy place recently, and she'd never done waxing, but she reckons by the end of the first day, it was normal.
You're over it.
The first client, she was like, whoa, and then the end of the, like, a few hours later, it was just like, this is nothing to me anymore.
Yeah.
It doesn't take long to get desensitized to the sight of all of those hairy vulvas asking.
I mean, I used to wash perm solution off the hair of old ladies, and that was like, that was gnarly.
Did you?
Yeah.
Did it remain gnarly? No, you got used to it.
I got used to it. I got used to it. But I didn't like it at first. I guess it's just any job. But yeah, it was an interesting episode. Obviously, we came away with key learnings. It's obviously a very personal thing, you said, so there's a lot of differences within there. I didn't want to sort of be like, Brazilian's good, Brazilian's bad, either way. We also, there was, you had a very interesting interview with Nicolai
Talamahina, who's an amazing trans musician, and we thought we would get him in to talk about how growing facial hair has helped define his identity.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So it's like, that's why sort of the episode doesn't really end with a hair patriarchy bad kind of a thing, because it can be informed by so many different things.
Yeah.
At this point in Western society, shit is complicated. So it's not up to us to be like, this is bad.
It plays many different roles.
It really does. Absolutely.
One of the things that we didn't have in the episode that it struck me when I watched it back was we were talking about how a lot of people trim their lady gardens, trim the edges, and one or other of you talked about the chances of inflicting harm on oneself.
Used the word labiaplasty, and that just made me cross my legs.
That's
what
made me write this down. So a handy tip that I didn't think of until now is that once you've trimmed your edges with your implement of choice, I think I said mine was Secateur, so that's not
or
true.
Or a small size the other option.
None of that's true. It's amazing what you say under pressure. But one of the useful things, if you want to do something about the length, but you want to be very careful that you're not snipping off any of the bits and pieces of yourself that you really treasure, you get a comb and a pair of scissors, and so you put the comb into the hair, and you cut across the top of the plastic comb. So
like a hairdresser.
Yeah. So the scissors never go anywhere near your body. They're on the comb.
Right.
Wow.
And it's a really safe way of making sure that you don't do yourself any lasting labiaplasty damage.
That is a bloody cool tip.
Anyway, just thought I'd share that.
It is true, though, isn't it? The risk is always there. And it's just something that people no one's talking about.
Well, you don't. Nobody tells you that they've gone to A&E because they've...
No.
Oh,
can we stop talking about this?
Yeah, no, let's move on.
Sorry about that.
I'm not good with
but
blood.
But yes, watch it on all of the pages. It's on the Rag page, it's on the Spinoffs Facebook, it's on the website, it's on our YouTube. We'd really love it if you could give it a thumbs up and just show your support. Some of us have put our buttholes on the line for that episode.
Oh, I love my wheezy laugh.
The butthole was the easiest part. I'll put it. Tina's nodding. Tina knows.
It's not a sentence people make often. It's new.
Oh dear. What else?
Hard to know where to go
after
that.
What else can we talk about that? Well, you had a cool tip. Have we got any cool tips aside from...
apart from the comb.
Pube trimming, mini barbershop.
Yes.
Mine's just I've started using oils on my face. I've long resisted the oil movement. As an oily person, it seems counterintuitive to me to pile on more oil. But the lovely Chelsea at Go Native, who's sort of a friend of the spin-off, has changed my life, really, by giving me these face oils. So you like replenish the oils in your face rather than strip them away and then force your face to create more oil.
Yes. Cause
so that's what I've been at.
Because the theory is that if you put oil on the oily face, your face goes, I don't need to make some.
Exactly.
You just put some on.
Let's just chill out.
Don't they feel amazing?
Clock off for the day. Exactly. Softness. I don't know. I like it. I've spent a lot of money on skin products in my life. And I've always been of the opinion that the more kind of acids, the more salicylic, the more benzoyl peroxide, etc., the stronger it is. But I'm now changing my philosophy on
that's
that.
That's good.
So I'm into oils.
I started using oil in my hair, actually. I got a bottle of Kawa Kawa oil from I Am Eva, also a friend of the spinoff. And I had like an itchy scalp. And also my hair's quite fluffy now that I've cut it all off. So I was like, I wouldn't mind.
Oh my God.
Delivering the oil to the itchy scalp situation and then not having such fluffy hair.
Yeah.
Weirdly. Wasn't my tip, but.
No.
Yeah.
I like using, I do coconut oil when I'm away in summer and swimming a lot in the ocean.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. And I really like the way it feels like it seals your hair and it stops it doing the frizzy, dry, fried thing.
This is why our Pacifica sisters have such gorgeous, shiny hair. Mm-hmm. They're all about that coconut oil life.
Yeah, love it. Smells good too.
Yeah, my tip is a really stupidly boring one.
I love it.
But has weirdly made a great difference to my everyday routine. So I don't know who else uses Red Seal toothpaste. It's a sort of slightly natural-ish toothpaste. But it clogs up the little squeezy nozzle like no other toothpaste I have ever used. And just results in this like molehill of toothpaste on top, so you can't close the cap or get anything out.
Yeah.
I don't know why this particular toothpaste does this. And so I got a new tube and I screw off the whole cap.
Don't force it through the nozzle.
I don't force it through the nozzle, I just screw off the whole cap and then put that on my toothbrush and then put the cap back on and now I don't have this problem. And I know that is banal. I know that is totally stupid. But the clogged toothpaste thing just bugged me every fucking morning.
Yeah. And then again at night when you're going to bed. That's a bookend shit day.
So, you know, it's one less frustration.
Michelle just did a shucker to demonstrate the bookend shit day.
So cool.
That's a great tip. So cool. You know what I wish I did that with? Tomato sauce.
Yeah.
That little bit.
Yeah.
That little bit.
And then when it does pop out, it's so disgusting. Little hard nub.
I think that's a really good tip, and I think you get a genius certificate too.
Oh my God, thanks guys. Oh my God. I want
to
thank my mum and my dad. The good people at Red Seal, hashtag not sponsored, but also you can send us some product if you want.
Oh dear, really leaning into that this pod. Was there anything else you had, Michelle, tip-wise?
That's the sum total of my hot tips for the month.
That was the hottest tip I've heard.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hey, Mother's Day is coming up.
Woo! Oh,
cool. This Sunday.
It is on this Sunday.
Good daughter alert. There's been some quite interesting takes from brands on what mums really want for Mother's Day.
Yeah.
The likes of Michael Hill Jeweler and Farmers.
Weigh her. Shave her.
Shave her. She needs to be hairless and she needs to know her number.
This was a catalogue. I don't know how this, hold on, let me find it. It was something like the stats on it were, it was like 11 different scales. Yeah. Electronic little what are they called? Epilators.
Yeah. So the wonderful Emily Wrights, wrote about this Farmer's catalogue for the spin-off and basically scripted what she just imagined the conversation was at Farmer's HQ when they were putting the catalogue together, which was just a whole bunch of group of dudes named Steve who eventually just end up yelling, shave her, weigh her at each other. Weigh her.
That's what
they want. Because, the catalogue was very shave and weigh heavy.
And also after that, she'll want to cover herself in Vaseline. And maybe when she's naked, shaved and covered in petroleum jelly, she might want to weigh herself.
That's what we do. That's my dream.
It's just great. But how grim is this? So yeah, it was 11 hair removal devices, ranging from electric razors to epilators, an electric toothbrush, 2 foot massage kits, a robotic back massager, brackets, not a useful one that's actually a vibrator, and 5 bathroom scales, ranging in price from $49 to $125.
Which is really, the thing that blew my mind about this is that it's really easy to buy, I find, gifts for women because we have broad tastes. Yeah. We like things to eat and drink and read and watch and things that make us smell good and look good. And so why the focus on removing body hair and weighing yourself?
Weigh hair.
It seems so weird. I mean, I do struggle often to find presents for the men in my life, so mm-hmm. I just don't bother. But women are easy to shop for and fun to shop for, and nobody wants any of the things in their catalogue. Yeah. Nobody.
No.
If somebody gave me bathroom scales as a gift... would be homicide.
I would Godzilla the house if someone gave me. I would just stamp around crushing people and things if someone gave me a pair of scales.
It is not a gift.
Oh, dear.
Nor as a vacuum cleaner, nor as a fry pan, nor as a hose.
Tina's like, ooh. I would quite like a Dyson. Okay. But
I would love one of those Dysons that you can put on the ceiling. You know those ones? Those little magic wand ones?
Yeah, you know.
All right. So, yeah, all right.
I mean, sometimes, like you say, it's hard buying for men. When it comes around to Christmas time and I have to buy my older half-brother's gifts, I become the most, like, conservative, sexist. You know, not sexist. What's, like...
Traditional.
Traditional is the word I'm looking for. And I just bought them, like... this thing that fits into your wallet. I actually should have bought one of these for myself. It's just a great gift. But it's like a credit card size metal steel, and it's like an Allen key thing, a bottle opener.
Oh, I love it.
Oh, yeah.
Ruler. It's all these little things you slip it in your wallet. But yeah, I was just like, there you go, boys.
Have a gadget.
Allen key, I think.
Yeah. One thing I can say is, I mean, I don't bother with the foot massager thing for Mother's Day.
Give me a foot massage.
I bought my mum one of those a few years ago and she didn't use it once.
Mm. Yeah. It's so much better. Why don't you just give somebody a foot massage?
It's a much nicer idea.
It's personal and it's you made it yourself.
Yeah. One present I do quite like giving my mum, if this is something that helps anyone, is I give her manicures.
Nice, ooh, yeah.
And I'm not going to bother with this voucher entitles you to one free manicure because, you know, parents never use it and then the kid never does the thing. But actually,
do it yourself.
I take it myself. I do it myself. And I have the moisturizer and the da-da-da and I give my mum a manicure.
That is lovely.
Yeah, which she really likes. And then we just yarn about
intimate
stuff.
Intimate chatter.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Which I plan on doing again this Mother's Day, which also is the same day as my mother's birthday, which is a lot of pressure.
So are you just doing that for your mum, or are you going to do that for your work mum and your school mum?
My school mum.
Your sky mum.
Probably not my sex mum, but...
okay, sure. Uh-huh.
About your feelings mum.
Oh, you're definitely one for my feelings mum.
Get on your Michael Hill jeweler. Celebrate all mums this Mother's Day, your mum and your work mum. What's a work mum?
I guess it's the person at work who picks up your shit.
Who tells you when it's dishes time.
The person who the emotional labour for you sad fuck.
Who remembers the birthdays and gets the cakes and actually is a functioning fully formed human being.
Who would probably rather get on with her own job.
I made the mistake when one of our sort of perceived work mums was her actual birthday and thinking, oh, no one's going to organise a cake because she's the one that organises the cake, so da da da. And I was so fucking wrong. The boy mums.
Yeah.
Organised her a beautiful cake. Aww. And I was like, that's right, I work somewhere that doesn't perform like that, like so many other places where I have worked where I'm the work mum who never gets cake on my birthday because I'm the one that remembers the birthdays. And it made me very happy to work where we work.
An office full of mums.
And of course, this is
full of dad mums, work mums,
brother mums, sister mums,
boy mums.
Starting to sound a bit sort of Mormon. So the sad thing about this is, from Michael Hill Jeweler, is that all he wants to do is for you to buy gifts, not just for the woman who raised you, but for lots of other people. So instead of buying one present, you're going to buy 17. So it's just a commercial proposition. But what it does is suggest that there are people in your life who will fulfill the function of your caretaker and nurturer, and that you don't have to be responsible as a grown-up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Meh.
I do have one colleague who I like to joke about being his mum. But it's never involved me having to actually do anything. It mostly is just what excuse I use to tell him off for stuff.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Give his ear a tweak.
Or call him bub, because it's just like an excuse to call a grown man bub.
It's perfectly acceptable.
How you doing, bub?
From where I am.
Yeah, I think so. But then I saw that ad and I felt bad. Like, I was like, oh my God, am I perpetuating this like toxic work mum culture? I don't think I am.
$59 if you want to treat your work mum. From Michael Hildoller.
Oh, really?
What are you going to buy?
Just like a silver earrings.
I'd be so creeped out if my workmate bought me silver earrings.
I would be really creeped out if somebody who wasn't my child gave me a Mother's Day present. It just occurred to me. That's disgusting.
It is really bizarre.
So weird.
That's horrible.
But work wife is also quite a common trope. So when are we going to see that start popping up in advertising?
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's
Day. Get the hell out of here. Yeah, it's
your actual spouse would not be happy with you buying a Valentine's present for a workmate, by the way.
And why don't we just have like grown up adult relationships with the people that we work with? Am I being crazy?
I think you've gone too far.
Expectations, Michelle. Jeez.
Get out. Like,
it's that old thing that I can't remember who originally said it, but you know, that men only really ever meet three women in their lives, their mother, their sister, and their daughter, and they try to make every woman that they meet one of those three people. And this is kind of encouraging that attitude that you're either the nurturer, the partner, or the person that you can be condescending and patronising to.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. So let's not do that.
Let's not do that, Michael Hill.
Yeah.
And quit your weird Dancing with the Stars promos while you're here. I don't want to see Michael Hill playing the violin ever again. It's a shocking image.
Really? Is he good at it?
I don't know. They play some ditty over it.
He's never
going
to be our sponsor, is he? He's not there. Our sponsor. It wasn't really on the cards.
Lots of mums here. Talking mums.
We are your talking mums.
Oh, dear. All right. Well, yeah. So get your mum something she actually wants.
Yeah.
And maybe just
ask her.
Don't think about a work mum ever again. My mum's quite a diva in regards to Mother's Day. I took her out. Well, I got invited to a film screening, and I knew she'd love it because it was about Scrabble. So I was like, "Oh, mum, we can go out to this, and there's a free wine, and it's your Mother's Day present." She's like, "But you didn't pay for it." And I was like, "Oh my God, mum, you want me to drop the cash?"
Wow.
So I'm worried if I was like, "Here's a manicure," she'd be like, "Yeah, take me to St. Luke. Take me to Professional."
Yeah. I do have to get another present on top of the manicure. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah. I think the greatest gift that we can give our mothers is our time. I mean that.
It's just a voice.
But it's just, the gift you can give is time. Your time, you're undivided. Put your phone down. Look at your mum.
Yeah. Do you know what, though? Putting your phone down is something I need to say to my parents in order to get them to pay attention to me.
Yeah.
They have iPads. Yep. They are surgically attached to their iPads. I go home to visit. I don't live in the same city as my parents. So I do have to give them my time in order to spend time with them. And then they sit there in their fucking armchairs on their iPads.
Oh. What are they doing on
Scrabble?
That's what my mum does. Maybe they're playing My Mum. We're both just sitting there being like,
And I have to be like, "You young people and your devices, ha ha ha." No, but actually pay attention to me.
You know that you can just turn the Wi-Fi off. I've done that.
They would not know how to turn it back on.
I know,
again,
it's great.
Well.
You just go and flick the switch on the modem and they go, "Oh, it's cut out. You paid the bill, mum?" Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Oh, dear.
That's good.
Hey, speaking of Wi-Fi, a viral image of some human breasts went viral on the Wi-Fi this month.
That is the best segue.
Oh dear. I saw this. Did you, where were you when you saw the viral breast?
I was sitting in my office and I think it's beautiful.
Yep.
And because I read a lot of the comments that said that people wanted to, you know, wish they could unsee it. And I just think it's stunning. Mm. So this is the image of, we're used to seeing the musculature of the human if the human is a man. Mm-hmm. And the lady's musculature has these amazing flowers, which are the milk ducts that go to the nipple, which remind me of the kind of doilies my grandmother used to crochet. They're just stunning. It's I find it really beautiful.
Mm. See, I remember this image very vividly from my Form 3 science textbook.
Oh. You've seen this.
So I was, maybe not this exact image, but what women's musculature looks like.
Right.
I learned that in third form. So I was more surprised that the world seemed to react like we did in third form.
Right.
To this image. What women's breasts look like underneath. I couldn't believe that the world had gone so crazy about that.
People went, yeah.
What was your response at the third form? Was that beautiful or frightening?
No, we all just went, ooh, ooh, ooh.
Yeah.
As you do. But we kind of did that about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, sure.
But at this point in my life, it wasn't a surprise when the image started circulating because I have seen it before.
Yep.
But you're right. It's not usual that's how human musculature is showing. It's
no, always male body is the default, and mm-hmm. women's bodies are the flawed version or the one with the design change.
Mm. I'm not great with medical stuff, though, so I'm still a little bit like, it's not because it's women's musculature, it's just because it's the inside of a human.
Yeah.
Oh,
that makes me feel weird.
How really do you do pretty. With the Rock DJ video?
I saw it once and never again. Disgusting.
What's the Rock DJ video?
Where Robbie Williams is like takes off his skin. I'm doing a slowdown, and he starts throwing muscles.
Yes, of course. I was thinking about that commercial radio.
Oh, yeah.
Sorry.
How do you deal with a rock DJ? Yeah. I hate them all.
It's a good question, too.
Yeah.
But yeah, I had never seen anything like it before. I think the closest I got was the Life Education Caravan as a child, and they had Tam. And Tam was a lady who had half of her skin off on her torso, so you could see everything on the inside. But I don't remember seeing that. I remember the boob looking more like just sort of like a brain. Like it had like the fatty like brain looking thing. It didn't have this gorgeous flower thing, which has also since kind of been not disproved, but just that it's not entirely accurate, this picture here.
Right.
So it's another
is
interesting.
Is it at least not quite as tidy as that?
I think it's not, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember it as being as tidy as that either.
But yeah. I like it. Just I like to think to that I might look like that underneath my skin. Hannibal Lecter. I don't know what I'm talking about. Yep.
It is just another sad truth, though, that we just don't actually even really know what our own bodies look like because
that's true.
Of the way we've been taught about them. I know that Michelle has a really great mansplain moment. We've been trying, we've been sort of retiring the segment recently.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said off mic, I just tend not to speak to many new men. I feel like I'm at capacity.
You're full.
I've got enough men around. They're all good. Yeah. So I don't really encounter mansplain situations. But Michelle, you're out there.
I'm out there all the time. And I do conferences. So I meet strangers. I meet people I've never met before. And we get on and that's great. But every now and then, quite often, the most common mansplain for me is that a technician will hand me a microphone. I've been using handheld microphones for 30 years now, and they will hand me a microphone and show me how to turn it on and where the mute button is. And I just stare at them now and mutter things about not first rodeo. Not my first rodeo. And but anyway, so that's what usually happens. But I had a really sweet one. So when I'm doing conferences and we have breaks and you have to get a lot of people back together in a room by a particular time and it's important that they are on time, I have a hooter that makes me sound like I'm a clown on a unicycle because I like that juxtaposition of running a corporate event and sounding like a clown on a unicycle. And I've had this hooter for a very long time, and I took it to this conference, and I went into the lunch, you know, where they're having lunch, and where I hooted my hooter, and instead of going, ow, ow, it's actually better than that, but it went, And I went, oh no, it's broken, and tried it again, it's still broken. And so, you know, a hooter is made of a rubber ball that you squeeze and a metal tube, right?
Sounds complicated.
Yeah, so it's got a lot of moving parts. And so a dude came over and said, hang on, I'll show you. And he took my hooter, expecting it to go, ogre, and it went, and he just sort of looked at it and handed it back. I said, did you just mansplain my hooter to me? And he went, yeah, I probably did. And just as we were laughing about that, another man came over and said, I'll fix it for you. I'll show you. I'll show you how it works.
No.
So, yeah. So, like, that's just the idea that they, as men, could make a broken thing work by squeezing it. I mean, there are limited ways of squeezing the air ball on a hooter, right?
Yeah.
There's not a lot of technique involved. There's not a lot of skill.
Your feeble lady hands might still be doing it wrong.
Might have been it. Yeah, for sure. Anyway, no, it was broken, as I said, after I used it the first time. Oh, it's broken, I said in a voice that was audible to human ears. Mm-hmm. So that was my favourite. I loved it.
Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, were they sheepish at all? Was there any sort of remorse?
When I said to the guy, you just mansplained my hooter to me, he went, oh, yeah, I did, yeah. So he knew that he'd been a dick. I think they were just really hoping some magic would happen, and when they touched the hooter, it would work.
Yeah.
Like, you know what men are like with hooters. So there you go. That's my story.
Oh, my God, that's so funny. Oh, man. Man's blame my hooter. That's your next book title.
It is.
Another thing that happened, well, last month. Sorry we're a bit late, by the way, as well. It's May. We're talking about stuff that happened in April. There was an interesting instance of a woman who was essentially asked to leave a pool in, where was it? Near Albany, because of her bikini, and that it had sort of raised concerns with other members of the pool. And they sort of asked if she could get changed or cover up, and she chose to leave because, of course, You'd feel
terrible.
Horrible, yeah. if somebody asked you to do that. It's really interesting, the story, because, I mean, not that it really matters either way. Women's bodies are policed constantly, regardless if they're wearing too many clothes or too little clothes, or not the right, whatever, not the right thing on their head or the wrong thing on their head. Mm. It was women who were complaining.
Yes.
According to the news stories, about this woman's Glassons bikini, which doesn't seem...
Glassons don't do kind of wildly provocative... I mean, they're bikinis.
Yeah.
So they're a two-piece, but
yeah,
they're not.
On the other hand, they're not constructed super well, so they are sort of quite loose. The material's not really designed with actual figures in mind, actual grown women's figures. So I can imagine it probably was quite skimpy.
There's a photograph of the not of the woman, but of the bikini that she was wearing. And, I mean, the top looks sort of sports bra-ish. The bottom's sort of... But I guess... So, a whole bunch of things. She'd been wearing it for a while at the pool. Like, I don't mean that day. She'd been going there for a number of weeks wearing that bikini, and it hadn't been a problem before. And I want to know why anybody is upset.
Yeah,
exactly.
What is bothering you about? I mean, if it was a G-string back, I don't know that I would care. Why would you care? I don't understand why a woman in a bikini is offensive.
Most togs, regardless, are 1 centimetre away from looking at a naked person.
Togs,
right?
Togs, togs, undies, undies,
togs. The point of togs is to be as naked as possible without breaking any laws.
Yeah.
So the idea that one person could look more naked than someone else in their tiny amount of material that they're using to simply cover their genitals.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really aware that every time I put togs on and go out in public, you know, not like to the mall, but to the beach, it takes a certain amount of psyching yourself into it, gathering your self-confidence, self-belief. Mm-hmm. I have a right to go for a swim in a bathing suit. Yeah. So you do all of that, putting your mental, psychological armor on, go for a swim. You're wearing that thing to the public pool for weeks and weeks and weeks, and then suddenly somebody says, oh, the ladies are uncomfortable with you, and it's humiliating. And
it's just the continuation of the won't someone think of the children sort of mindset that somehow being exposed to a human body is going to make them grow up into sexual deviants.
And it also goes to show it doesn't. I was trying to find the news story. There was something last year where this woman was on the beach. I think it was a North Shore beach, and she walked past some people who sort of said some comments. And she posted a big proud photo of herself on the beach on Facebook and went sort of semi-viral saying, I don't give a fuck what people think. This is my body. I love it. I'm going to wear this bikini. So it just goes to show, I mean, she was, I think, maybe a size 16 to 18. This woman, I don't know, was it an 8 to 10? It doesn't matter.
No.
It doesn't matter what you're looking like. There's always going to be some kind of framework policing. Telling you, you're not right to wear your togs, which is just wild. It's just, it's as inane as me complaining about, like, old men in their Speedos.
Yeah.
Which I haven't done, but maybe like I will. Maybe I will.
Yeah, but I wouldn't. I mean, I snicker at men in Speedos because I do find them amusing. But I'm not going to complain because it's not going to turn me into anything. It's not going to turn my granddaughter into or grandson into anything. It has no effect. It's just a human body in a piece of clothing.
It's just so unkind as well, isn't it? To make a decision and then and go to the authorities, even if it is just like someone at a pool. That would be such a kind of earth-shattering thing to suddenly go, my place, where I like to go, where I've been
and
fine.
And exercise and feel good in my body
is
no longer a safe place for me.
It's bloody bullshit. So I hope that lady's okay, and I hope anyone out there who feels, you know, just get out there in your bikini and fuck everyone else.
Yep.
It's a bit cold though at the moment, isn't it?
People are going to be a dick no matter what size you are, no matter what you look like, no matter what you're wearing.
And it's all about them. Right, it's all about whatever that person who's complaining. It's all about whatever's happening in their brains that's led them to do that.
Yeah. If you were one of those people that complained about the young lady's bikini, I hope you reflect on your behaviour.
I hope somebody gives you a pair of scales and a vacuum cleaner for Mother's Day. There you go.
Oh, fabulous! What else is on the agenda? What else do we want to talk about? Da 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 da. We talked about the viral boobs. I wanted to talk a bit about some body stuff that I've sort of been working on for the spin-off. I've been working on this body positivity story, looking at influencers who all of them almost collectively hate that word, but we haven't quite found another word for it yet. Sure. I was like, would you prefer thought leader? And none of them preferred that either. They're just women who have stumbled upon quite a big following because they are cool.
Yeah.
and one of the women I interviewed for is Ali Garrett, who doesn't live in New Zealand anymore. She lives in Sydney now, but she used to kind of write for The Wireless in New Zealand, and she does a whole lot of sort of fat activism and stuff like that. And the reason I wanted to talk about it is because of the new Avengers film.
Okay.
And this is going to be a spoiler. Have you seen it, Michelle?
No, I haven't.
Tina?
Is this the final? This is
Endgame. Hashtag don't spoil the Endgame.
Okay.
Okay, so if you don't want to know any, I've kind of already spoiled it in that long segue.
Not really.
No. I've seen it and I still don't know what you're referring to.
Okay. Just zoom forward 5 or 10 minutes if you're freaked out about this. But I came out ages ago, guys. Come on. if you care that much to get mad about spoilers and you still haven't gone to see. Yeah, okay. Thor.
Oh, yeah.
I've heard of him. So when the Avengers return together to fight the big final battle, they have to go find Thor. And they find him kind of washed up in this little coastal village somewhere. And he's fallen on hard times. He's started drinking and I don't know. I sort of subtext was like smoking weed. I don't know. He's got an energy about him.
He looks like the dude from Big Lebowski.
Totally. And he's got this really big pot belly, which is like played for laughs repeatedly throughout the film because he is constantly re-meeting these people from his past who, you know, kind of look him up and down. And
you've let yourself go, mate.
Exactly. And it was really interesting because I immediately thought, oh, okay, that's kind of weird. I don't know, like the whole idea of like the fat suit and it being a source of humour. But obviously that's not my place to say. So I was weekend editing the spin-off the other week and I came across this amazing blog written by a local fat activist called Kat Pause? I never quite know how to say her last
name. Kat Pause is the best name in the world.
I mean, like, I'm pretty sure that's her name. It might be her Twitter name. And she had written this really interesting blog about how she felt watching that.
Right.
And the message that it sent to her about her body, that it was wrong or that it was funny. And it was also a symbol of it's only ever used when a person lets themselves go,
right,
or isn't in the right, you know, the right, yeah, version of themselves. It's used as like a very a negative thing in popular culture. And she just wrote a blog sort of about her point of view on that and how it made her feel watching that and hearing lots of people laugh at a body that, you know, was closer to hers than Captain America's. And I thought it was a really amazing piece. So we republished it on the spin-off. And watching the vitriol roll in on the comments was just so demoralizing.
Really?
People were so, so angry about it. And it just made me furious. It made me really furious. And it, yeah, got me sort of thinking a lot about how, like, the kind of fat phobia, and that's just one of the last things I feel like that people can't, yeah, quite get their heads around.
Yeah.
And there were people just sort of being like, it's funny, he's fat, it's just funny. What's wrong with that? And it was sort of like, where's the
empathy?
You
not going to interrogate why you think that's funny, yeah, even for a second?
Yeah. Exactly. And she did say, you know, in the film, Thor continues to have that body in the battle scenes and everything like that. He's still a superhero,
yeah,
with a fat body, which is, you know, she even acknowledged in the piece, is super awesome.
Cool.
And,
yeah,
something you've never seen before. But it was like, I mean, why couldn't he have always been like that?
You, yeah,
know?
Yeah.
You know, why did it have to be like fallen on hard times? I just thought it was really interesting. And I've also learned that Avengers fans are pretty angry.
Superhero fans feel, yeah, very, they feel like they own those characters.
Yeah.
And if you dick around with them, it's like you've broken into their house and smashed up their furniture.
Mm.
You know that yeah, reaction to women Ghostbusters was a really good, yeah, example. I mean, not superheroes, but they just feel ownership of those characters. And how dare you suggest that anything as it's presented shouldn't be presented that way? And they don't seem to be open to having that discussion, because I'm not sure that I. And I mean, I want to think about it, but I'm not sure. I can see that if you want to show a change in a character whose whole raison d'etre is being powerful and fit, and you want to show change, that's the obvious way to show the change, you know. And you could make him go grey and wear glasses instead or something. I mean, it's a conversation I'd like to have. It doesn't make me mad at her.
Totally.
It's the that aggressive response that's so amazing. And you're right, the fat thing, you know, people who wouldn't be racist and who would work very hard at not being sexist will still make fat jokes, yeah, about, you know, Jerry Brownlee. I've been guilty of that in, yeah, the past before.
Totally.
Yeah.
And Hollywood needs to retire the fat suit completely.
And that was kind of her point. Like, it was like, yeah, I mean, it could well be the reality of the story, reality where everything, there's a Hulk. But the reality could be that could well be what happened to Thor in that moment. But that's all that she gets,
yeah,
representation-wise, you know?
Yeah.
And it's always a fat suit. So she kind of ends the piece being like, you know, watch things like Shrill with A.D. Bryant.
Oh,
but yeah, celebrate, okay, you know, people like Rebel Wilson, people who are promoting a different, yeah, body in the mainstream, in mainstream popular culture.
Yeah.
And just be conscious of it. It's not even like boycott Avengers or anything like that. All she was sort of saying,
yeah,
is,
have a good discussion.
Just think about
be
it.
Aware.
And it's that whole thing that people... But yeah, the idea that it's like, if anything is slightly criticised, it must be bad. And it doesn't mean it's bad,
yeah,
at,
yeah,
all. In the same way that, like, you know, it's not as black and white as that. But it was a very interesting weekend on the internet for me.
Yeah.
I was pretty annoyed.
Side note, Brie Larson as Captain Marvel in the latest Avengers has had a bit of a, like, a haircut or whatever.
Yeah.
She's had a bit of a butch glow up. And she looks fucking phenomenal. This is unrelated, but if she's not just like a stone cold gay icon point in history and time, I do not know what's going on, because she's amazing. And then she wears this like really fucking awesome suit at some point as well, and she's got this short anyway.
Oh my god, the gay part of me is hot and frothy for it. Yeah, in a very big way.
Same.
Yeah.
Crush on her big time. Oh, yeah. Yeah, she looks great.
I really enjoyed Captain Marvel. I know that passing the Bechdel test is a fucking low bar, but it just kept happening scene after scene after scene, because there are enough female characters for them to share a scene together and talk about another character who is also a woman. And I kept noticing it, despite the fact that I was also really entranced by the movie, but I kept going, it's another Bechdel scene, it's another Bechdel scene, it's another one. And it was very, I found that really exciting for me. It's just, God, and it's taken such a long time to get to that. But, yeah,
such a
awesome.
Long time.
All those women characters were terrific. Annette Bening is amazing and gets to play two characters. I love it. The supreme intelligence. That's exactly. That's like being a genius. That's like a certificate of genius.
It's exactly the same.
Are there other things we've been watching, listening to, absorbing that we'd like to share with the group, apart from Avengers Endgame?
If we segue into a book club.
Yeah, why not?
Read on my holidays last week. No, it was the week before last now. My Easter holidays. A Joan Didion book, which I had never read before. Because it's not a novel or a non-fiction book per se. It is just some of her journals that were published in 2017. So it's sort of bits of stuff. And it's called South and West. The first bit is about a month-long journey through the South in the US that she did, sort of with mind to writing a story, but she actually never wrote the story. And so it's her journey from her journals from her travel through the South, and then the second bit is journals from some time in California, which is where she's from. The journey through the South was just absolutely fascinating. It's, you know, a smart woman with an inquiring mind in a different environment than the one that she's used to, who's just capturing moments and people. And it's just so cool that it's sort of, as a journalist, as someone who's trying to be a journalist, gave me, or re-upped, I guess, a vision on the world that you can have as someone moving through it, that you can just sort of capture the minutiae and the nuances of the people around you, rather than everything you write having to sort of be general themes and big, you know. It's like, it's non-fiction writing, but with the sort of the warmth and the intimacy of fiction writing. And it was just her journals. Like, her journals are incredible. Yeah, they're unfinished.
I mean, that's the mind-blowing thing for me reading that, was that these are her unpolished notes. These are sort of first drafts.
Yeah,
and they're amazing. Such a beautiful writer. Yeah.
So, yeah, I felt, it's not a particularly long book, but it just sort of, I felt renewed by it somehow as a writer that... And it just felt uniquely feminine as well. Do you know what I mean? It was really observational, but in a way that was warm and non-judgmental, even when she was sort of talking about people who were quite weird. It was very funny as well, which is always great.
That sounds great.
Yeah. So that's my recent book club edition.
That reminds me of, I don't know if I've talked about this before, but a book that I just like devoured was Leah McFall's collection of essays.
I'm doing a session with her at the Dunedin Writers Festival on Saturday. She is stunning, isn't she?
She's so good.
Confidential. Yeah.
And it's just all about, I mean, she kind of owns it herself that she's works from home. You'd call her a housewife in the traditional sense. And she's just so fucking funny.
Yeah.
And so observant of, like, again, like you say, it's, you don't always have to be writing about climate change or racism, you know, these huge sorts of topics in everything you do. And she just manages to just pick the tiniest little things that happen to her. And they're like, can be hilarious, but also like extreme explorations of like grief and loss and family. And it's, it really, it was one of those books that made me go like, fuck, writing awesome. Is actually good.
Yeah.
Because sometimes it doesn't feel like that when you have to do it for a job.
Yeah.
But yes, I recommend that as well.
Awesome.
Yeah.
What about you, Michelle?
I'm reading books for the Dunedin Festival and the Auckland Writers Festival. And I don't feel like I want to talk about those because they're still in the process in my head. Mm-hmm. So instead, I'm going to do something ridiculous and talk about a book that I have on my bedside table that I haven't got started reading yet.
Love it.
But I cannot wait to get to it. And it's by Bryn Tannehill, who's was a Navy pilot and is now a writer and activist. And it's called Everything You Ever Wanted to Know About Trans. And it's a collection of her essays, all of the arguments that people throw up, and the negative arguments about transgender people, and there's lots of data in it, and some personal stories as well. So
cool.
And it's a really handy book, I think. Well, I'm sure it will be when I've read it. But I cannot wait to dive into that because it's the little bit that I have read of it. It feels like really nice storytelling too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
cool.
It's lovely. I also just wanted to shout out a great article that I read by Maddie Holden, beloved sometimes spin-off contributor, which is called Why So Much Hate for the Instagram Model? And it's just quite an Instagram model as in models on Instagram, not the model as a, I don't know,
business or whatever. Form.
And it's just quite an interesting sort of another look at the conventional sort of influencer look and why there's so much hate, particularly for women who do this for a job, as in kind of profit off the way they look or their following, and that it's rooted in misogyny just like everything else.
Yeah.
So you need to kind of examine the knee-jerk reactions to those sorts of people on Instagram, which is something I always find really interesting and sometimes quite difficult to do.
Yeah, it is difficult because it can just be so brutally vapid.
Totally.
That you just in that moment, sometimes I just hate the world when I'm on Instagram. You know what I mean?
Totally.
But then you have to remember that there are men influencers who do pretty much the same thing, who are just shirtless in outdoor settings, who are getting paid to have some kind of outdoor brand in the photo, doing exactly the fucking same thing. Yep. Everyone's like, cool, bro, love your shit, bro. Like, they don't get women get.
They've got to have, like, a horse or a dog or something.
Got a dog,
they?
A tent.
They can't even
a tent perched on some really ridiculously high cliff that no one would ever actually camp on.
Yeah, unless they'd made a mistake.
Oh, actually, there's a very good Instagram account called Did You Really Sleep There?
Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
A friend of mine, Rebecca White, who's the editor of New Zealand Geographic, was posting about it. Did You Really Sleep There, I think it's called. And it's just a compilation of people who've posted these stupid aspirational camping photos.
Oh my God, this is amazing.
In places where basically if you slept in it after half an hour, your tent would fall off that cliff and you would die.
That is so cool.
Or
you did not sleep
there. Oh, you did not sleep there. Or you fall through the ice or whatever.
Yeah.
It's very good.
Oh my God, that's hilarious.
That's really fun.
That's so funny.
So yeah, influencer bros exist as well. So if you're going to go after the women, go after the dudes as well.
Totally. Yeah. It's also been particularly interesting. I was unpacking this, I think, in the office with you a bit. There was quite a prominent influencer who's not the first, not the last, but kind of locally that I've seen, got a Brazilian butt lift in her Instagram story in quite graphic detail. Michelle's shaking her head.
I'm trying to understand what a Brazilian butt lift is.
It's where they take fat from other parts of your body and juice it into your bum cheeks to give you the kind of
Kardashian bum.
But
sort of,
What a Brazilian I don't want to know the answer.
I guess
maybe because it's
Brazilian bikini.
They've got quite a developed plastic surgery culture as well.
Okay.
So potentially it's a surgery that just was developed there
in Brazil.
Yeah.
Okay. I will stop asking questions and just
picture it. Yeah, no, it's just interesting. I feel like I find that another very complicated realm to sort of dissect. My knee-jerk reaction was quite shocked and, I'll admit, judgmental, being like, I just don't know if that's like a positive thing to put out there. I'm not sure. But then when I was doing this interview for another story, talking to Ali Garrett again, who's not only a fat activist, but she calls herself plastic surgery positive. She gets her lips done and she was like, you know, it's really interesting to talk about because where do you draw the line? I mean, as soon as you wake up and have a shower and start putting makeup on, you're changing your appearance.
Yeah.
But when there's a scalpel or a needle or something more permanent involved, people start to get funny about things. And I was like, that's really interesting, because by the same token, if I saw a girl who had a butt like that and had got it from going to the gym and doing squats for however long it takes to do that, I've never done a squat before, I would be like, good on you. I'd be like, good on you, girl. But because it was kind of like not earned or something, I had this weird knee-jerk reaction to it. It made me be like, oh, okay, that's interesting. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I kind of felt that way. And I've sort of changed, I guess, my initial reaction to it. And I was like, maybe it's better that people see this is the reality of getting this butt. This is how it looks. This is the journey you have to go on to get it. It's not easy. True.
Most people would just sort of hide that process away and then just one day show up with an amazing butt.
Yeah.
But as someone who's, like I said, not that great with medical stuff.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Some of the images that she was putting on her Facebook of just like bloodied butt pads that she'd been like lying and sitting on. I was like, oh, my God.
And it's full on. Yeah.
For me personally, it was the best way to ensure I will never get something like that done.
Right.
Yeah.
To be honest. Like, I was just looking at it going, it's not worth it. And I'd be interested to know how many other people felt the same way.
Yeah.
So for me, the two questions that are that always pop into my head are, who are you doing this for? Mm. And, you know, the answer could be, there are a million answers to that. Mm. And And the other is, what are you not doing by doing this? And these are my personal filters for why I wouldn't do that, because it's not something I want. But I can also entirely see that it is something that somebody else might want, and that, you know, but I always think, just try and run stuff through those two filter questions. Who in our hair episode, I asked people in the street, you know, who do you shave for, and they were, for me, if you lived alone on a desert island, would you shave? No.
Yeah.
So it's not just for you. It's not just for how it feels. And that's fine. Just ask yourself that question.
Yeah, be a bit honest.
Yeah.
Mm. I just find it also fascinating.
Mm. It is.
We're in some kind of frontier now.
Yeah. Mate, I guess then I wonder, after you've done a major body reshapement, is that a word? Like that. And the fashion changes, what do? Do you undo?
Mm. Well, that's another interesting element to it as well. It's like the trend is also interesting, because a lot of it's borrowing from black bodies traditionally.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, throughout history have not been celebrated or put on a pedestal in that same way. And now there are...
My teenage body is now what is incredibly fashionable.
Mm.
But when I was a teenager, no boobs and no butt was incredibly fashionable.
I mean, not twiggy. Kate Moss. It was the 60s.
Yeah.
You know, but like, brutally unfashionable. And I was beautiful when I was a teenager, if I'm like honest. Like, I mean, in a conventional beauty standards kind of a way, I was tiny with a giant ass and big boobs. Mm. I'm what people are getting plastic surgery to get. And I just woke up every day going, oh, gross.
Yeah.
Just looking in the mirror and just seeing everything as being too big, and which makes you look too ethnic or whatever, you know. But so it is entirely plausible that in 20 years the butts are going to be like a very bad idea, fashion or trend-wise. Mm.
Mm.
In which case, just, I don't know, why bother?
Yeah.
Someone's eventually going to decide, no matter what you look like, that it's wrong. I mean, that's my take on it. But that, also, I'm just scared of needles and scalpels.
You didn't even get a bloody flu shot, mate.
Everyone at work got flu shots, and I just think,
is it that strong?
Thanks the herd for inoculating me and moved on with my life.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it's good.
Sorry.
You know, that's why I don't do it. I'm just body positive.
If my body wants to give me the flu virus, then that's entirely up to my body.
One day, the flu will be really fashionable. You people will want the flu, and you won't be able to have it because you had your...
Oh, dear. All right. We've come to the end. I think it's time to do some Kia Ora Queenies of the month.
Kia Ora Queenies. There's a lot for me. I've got heaps. Oh, what do you got, Michelle?
I want to do a shout out for Anne Jury from New Zealand Women's Refuge for her strong words about Brian Tamaki cancelling a meeting with him because of the hoo-ha, the brouhaha that we all heard about. That, you know, he wanted to be in prisons, but he didn't actually make an application, and then he used some very violent language to describe what had happened to him on Twitter, describing it as akin to a gang rape. At which point Ange Jury said, you know, that meeting we were going to have to talk about your Man Up program and involving Women's Refuge New Zealand, we're not going to do that because we don't think you get it.
Yeah.
So I love hearing women like that with that, all those years of experience and that no-nonsense voice of hers. I bloody love it, speaking out. So so she's my kia ora koe, Ange Jury.
My kia ora koeini is Casta Semenya. Actually, maybe we should have talked about this more, but technically it's a May issue, so maybe we could talk about her more next month. But she's the double Olympic medalist who was deemed to be creating too much testosterone in her body and is now required to have hormone treatment so that her hormone levels are closer to a woman's in order to compete.
Because apparently,
as a woman,
athletes should strive for average rather than celebrate their genetic quirks.
And as has been pointed out, when you are naturally blessed with genetic quirks as a man, like Michael Phelps, who produces half the amount of lactic acid as everyone else, which is why he can swim for fucking years without stopping. That's a medical miracle.
With
that's
his double jointed ankles so that he can flap his way through the water.
But the fact that Caster Semenya was born with more testosterone is that's a no-no. That must be treated. And her treatment since has been just a disgusting mix of racism and sexism and misogyny. And she... not just because of what has happened to her, but the reason she is my kia ora koeini is because she has handled it with such incredible grace. And she's just been such an amazing, considering what she's going through, you know, I would just be.
And even in the midst of it all, she just keeps winning races.
And she just keeps winning while she's allowed to, I guess.
That's wild.
But yeah.
That, the white woman who came like sixth.
Oh my god!
In the race,
the boo hoo hoo lady
was crying on camera.
Fair. It's just not fair.
Becky, sit down.
I know.
Yes, Queen. Yeah, we will talk about that more next time. Thanks for that, Leonie. Also, I would like to nominate Louise Hutt, who I know is a ragger. Who has, I think it was last night on Twitter, made a big announcement, said there's only so many times you can ask your leaders to take action on climate change, to represent people who aren't their voters, and to centre our well-being, until you just have to step up and do it yourself. I'm running for mayor of Hamilton West.
Yes!
And I was just like...
yes, Louise.
Kia ora koeini, Louise.
Kia ora koeini.
That's how you do it. Just
Louise for mayor.
Louise for mayor. That's the official stance from the rack. I don't know who else is running Hamilton.
I'm
going
to move to Hamilton. Oh, I don't know.
They've got some pretty terrible councillors.
Yeah,
in
they
Hamilton,
do.
Let's be honest.
Yeah, they've got some people they don't need.
That's right.
I was talking to some journalists from Hamilton on Friday, and there's lots of different places within council in Hamilton, in the different Hamilton regions, where people run without any opposition whatsoever all the time. And so they're just automatically elected. So. Make a difference where you can.
Yeah.
Like Louise.
Get in there, Louise.
Be like Louise.
Be more like Louise. And also Lizzo.
Lizzo!
That album, Cause I Love You, I've listened to every single day since it came out last month. Just phenomenal. Feel good. Empowering. Doesn't give a fuck.
Does not
loves herself.
Loves herself.
In and out.
Looks great as a result of loving herself. Do you know what I mean? Like everything she wears and does, and she just, because she's just out here wearing like skimpy lingerie on her big, beautiful black body, and because she loves herself, it just looks amazing every single time.
That's amazing.
I mean, it looks amazing anyway, but you know what I mean?
Totally.
I'm glad that the world has come around to Lizzo, because I don't want to be all like, I'm such an early adopter.
Yeah.
But I literally have been listening to her for like 2 years, and now the world is like, hey, what about this lady? It's so exciting.
You're like a thought leader.
I'm a Lizzo genius. Let's just put that out there.
Oh, Tina, we need lots of certificates. All right, and that's the end of the episode. If you enjoyed this,
please watch our TV show as well. Tell all your mates about it. I'm really keen to break through. Let's get some. I'll tell you what, the men don't love men don't love our
show. That's a really good. That's an endorsement because that's kind of the. Well, it's not the point, but it's a really pleasant byproduct.
The grumpy man on Facebook.
Ladies space.
It was one grumpy man on Facebook. To be fair,
no. Yeah. What I remember was the comment was his was shit, but the response was very good.
Yeah, he posted. We shared the episode 2 about body hair, and he said, "Now watch all the men leave the room." ... And then all these women kind of replied and were like, "That's all good. Not all rooms are for you."
Yeah. So true, my friend.
It was really awesome. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you again to the Women's Bookshop. Please go and support them because they support us.
Yes.
And we'll talk to you next month.
Bye.
Talo for Lover. I'm Madeline Chapman, editor at The Spin-Off. If you have the means, consider supporting our high-quality journalism by becoming a Spin-Off member. Sign up now at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
Kia ora e te iwi, Te Aihe Butler here, podcast manager at The Spin-Off. If you enjoy listening to our podcasts, consider supporting our mahi by signing up to become a Spin-Off member at thespinoff.co.nz/donate.
The Spin-Off Podcast Network.